Blackstone Audio presents Guilty as Sin, Book 2 of the Sin Trilogy by Meghan March. This book is read by Erin Mallon and Joe Arden. 1. Whitney. 10 years ago. I rode to the hospital with Aunt Jackie, shivering in my rain-soaked clothes as my stomach twisted into tighter and tighter knots. She wouldn't tell me anything other than there had been an accident involving my parents and Lincoln's father. I glanced in the rearview mirror and saw Lincoln's headlight shining behind us. As soon as Jackie had given us the news, part of me had wanted to run to him, to give and seek comfort. But what had happened earlier tonight had changed everything between us. Although the closer we got to the hospital, the less some stupid fight and angry words seemed to matter. There's nothing like a possible tragedy to force you to wake up and realize what matters. Life is precious. Tomorrow carries no guarantee. What happened? I felt like I'd asked the question 1,000 times, but Jackie had only given me the bare minimum in details. My aunt glanced over at me for a second before training her eyes back on the road. The windshield wipers worked overtime on their highest setting, but she still had to squint to see through the downpour. I don't know. They wouldn't tell me much over the phone. The knot in my stomach yanked tighter again, and I wrapped my arms around my middle as I shivered. Why did they call you and not me? I called you the entire way to your house, and it went straight to voicemail every time. They probably couldn't get through to you either. Oh my God. My phone was off, I whispered. Because... Jackie's gaze cut to me again, but she didn't say anything. Guilt savaged me. I turned my phone off, and my parents were... I shook harder. I would know if something really, really bad happened, wouldn't I? Shouldn't I feel something? Know something? They have to be okay, don't they? Keep it together, Whit. We're almost there. Jackie's voice, normally so strong and confident, sounded as ragged as mine. I checked the side-view mirror again because it gave me something to do. Anything was better than dwelling on the horrible possibilities flipping through my brain. I forced myself to focus on the headlights behind us, Lincoln's headlights. He'd come to my house, even after he'd thrown me out of the cabin, and I didn't know why. I thought he'd said everything he needed to say. Not that any of it matters now, because my parents and his father were in some kind of accident, together. Jackie guided the car into the parking lot of the Riskoff Memorial Hospital and took a spot about 100 yards from the emergency entrance. Lincoln drove right up to the ER doors and jumped out. He stood beside his truck, staring in my direction. As soon as Jackie shifted into park, I bolted out of the car and ran. Rain drenched my clothes, but I didn't care. I need to know. Whit, wait, Jackie yelled, but I didn't listen. My brain buzzed with static, and only one thought, find out what's going on as quickly as possible. Lincoln met me as the automatic door slid open. He reached out and grabbed my hand, interlacing his fingers with mine.
I don't give a shit what happened earlier. I'm not letting you face this alone. I don't give a damn what anyone says, including you.
All the anger I'd been harboring from our fight had already been obliterated by fear. My head bobbed a few times, but I couldn't find any words to reply. He squeezed my hand, and I found a tiny measure of calm in the riot of emotions pummeling me. Together, we walked through the doors and into the emergency room lobby. Everything was so white and bright, at complete odds with the storm raging outside. As soon as the woman at the triage desk saw us, her face paled.
Mr. Riskoff, your family just arrived. They're waiting for you in a private room, sir.
Her gaze shifted to me, but it was clear she had no idea who I was. My parents were in the accident, too. The Gables. Lincoln squeezed my hand again as Jackie slid to a halt behind me, her shoes squeaking on the wet floor. The woman's gaze cut from my face to Lincoln's and back to mine.
Oh, okay, if you would just have a seat.
My brother and his wife, Clayton.